Hello and welcome to Chiefs Blueprint. I'm your host, Pete Sweeney, once again joined alongside by Chiefs reporter BJ Kissel. And BJ, with three games in the books, the regular season is very close.
It is, Pete, but before this team can head down to take on the Houston Texans week one, we've got to figure out who the 53 guys on this team are going to be. That starts this week. On Tuesday, the roster is going to go from 90 players down to 75. There's a lot of tough decisions to be made.
It's an exciting time. We have a great show for you tonight. The voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, had the chance to sit down with defensive coordinator Bob Sutton to talk about how he's going to carry that momentum from last year over to this year. And also tonight, a long-standing tradition of the Chiefs has been the ability to get to the quarterback, and you'll get to see a preview of an upcoming Chiefs Kingdom that highlights that fact. But before we get to all of that, BJ, I know you recently had the chance to sit down with the newest member of the Chiefs' starting offensive line, Ben Grubbs. Here's that interview.
All
right, Ben, you've now had a few months in this offense. Just what's the transition been like for where you're at now compared to where you were back at OTAs?
Well, I think I've made a lot of progress. I actually know the plays, so now I'm just trying to focus on the little details that can make me that much more better, a better player. I think that I'm on the right track, and you know, each and every day we're working at it. Coach Heck is doing a great job teaching it, and I'm just trying to absorb everything and do my job. I think the most difficult part for me was just having more responsibility on the offensive line. When I was in Baltimore and New Orleans, quarterback and center made the calls. You know, here there's more responsibility on everybody to know what's going on. You know, it was a little adjustment that I had to make, but now I'm making calls on my own. I'm not really questioning myself. You know, when I first came here, I was more consumed with the sense of making sure I know my job. I kind of shied away from being a vocal leader. I wanted to let my play speak for itself, and I wanted to make sure I was doing the right thing first. But now that I'm more comfortable in the offense, you know, I am speaking out a little more. You know, coming from college to starting the NFL is not an easy job. And I'm just trying to be that mouthpiece to say, hey, buddy, you know, great job. Let's keep it going.
Good hands, Paul. Good battle.
What's it going to take for this group as a whole to be ready when you guys go down to Houston week one?
That's going to be a tough matchup. You know, we're going to have to be working on pumping on all cylinders. We're going to have a great week of preparation, and we're just going to be focused. You know, that's on and off the field, making sure that we do our job when we're out here practicing and when we leave the facility. I mean, I think everything matters because at the end of the day, it's the game of inches. We all, you know, hear that phrase, and it really comes down to when you look at the game film the next day, you see like, man, if somebody would have made this block, or man, if I would have stepped a little farther on this play.
Should have hit him. Sure, took him.
You want to account for all those factors in that week before so it doesn't bite you when you're playing that Sunday.
Throughout your career, you've been around some pretty successful quarterbacks, played with two Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. What do you see in Alex Smith as to where he could, how far he could take this team?
My first, just his athletic ability. You know, he's able to do pretty much anything you ask of him. You know, he can throw the ball down the field, he can make accurate reads, accurate throws, and if the pocket collapses, he can get yards with his legs. So I think he's doing a great job, and you know, I have no doubt that we have all the pieces to make this Super Bowl run. I mean, I was shocked at the talent that we had, and just to see those guys work each and every day, it's unbelievable. I mean, just to be around a guy such as Jamal Charles, and you look on the outside. And you have, I mean, the tight ends that we have, the receivers, Jeremy Maclin, you know, those guys are doing a great job at making plays down the field. You know, I'm very excited about this season.
BJ, Grubbs turned 31 this year in March. That makes him the oldest Chiefs offensive line member. As a matter of fact, there is an offensive line member above 30 besides him. What does he do as far as veteran leadership that maybe helps a guy like center Mitch Morse, who may even start this year?
Yeah, I think as a young player trying to figure things out, to have the presence, the veteran presence of a guy like Ben Grubbs, a guy who's been in the league for a long time and played at a high level. Now, when these guys get out on the field, there's a million things going on, a billion different miles an hour. If you have a person like Ben Grubbs, it's that calming influence for Mitch Morse to be able to look to his left and see a guy like Ben Grubbs to kind of slow things down. And as you saw in that interview, Ben Grubbs has that just natural calming demeanor about him. I think that really translates over the field and it manifests itself there to where Mitch Morse sees the same guy during the meeting rooms and on the practice field. You get out on the field, I think it's that much more important. And Ben Grubbs is a great fit on the field, but that, like I said, that calming demeanor off the field is a great fit for this young offensive line.
Now, from a bigger picture, we've seen some injuries along this line throughout training camp. Does that make things harder as far as building that continuity needed along the line?
I think the offensive line as a whole needs to find continuity. I know there's a lot of talk about finding the five guys and have them play next to one another. But what we've seen with the Chiefs last year and even across the NFL is that guys get hurt. It's inevitable. You go through the preseason, it's the same five guys all throughout the preseason. You put yourself in a position when you get to the regular season, if you have a couple injuries, all of a sudden you've got a line out there that hasn't spent any time next to one another. So I don't think it can ever be considered a good thing when guys get injured and can't play in the preseason. You want those five guys to be out there. But in regards to continuity, it really is seven or eight guys that need to be comfortable next to one another. And being next to a new guy, you know, one week to the next, it really makes you communicate. And I don't think that can be considered a bad thing. But continuity needs to spread across more than just your five starters. It needs to go to all seven or eight guys that will ultimately end up on the field. And you look at what's happened from OTAs. Ben Grubbs has been the constant on this offensive line at left guard.
Number 66 will definitely be someone to watch as we head into this regular season. But as promised, coming up, we'll get to the other side of the football as the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, sits down with the Chiefs defensive coordinator, Bob Sutton. Come on back.
Chiefs Blueprint is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Prime Sport, get your tickets to the Chiefs tailgate party, presented by Bud Light, at primesport.com/Chiefs. Overland Park Auto Group, home of the Red Friday Rally. And by the University of Kansas Hospital, the official healthcare provider of the Chiefs and the athlete in you. Coming up on Chiefs Blueprint.
We really talk in terms of play like a Chief, you know, which is passionate, toughness, grit. We're always searching out those qualities.
Welcome back to Chiefs Blueprint. When it comes to the defense, I think it's fair to say the Chiefs are in good hands. Defensive coordinator Bob Sutton started his coaching career in 1974 at Syracuse University as a linebackers coach. And since then, he's gone on to coach in numerous colleges, including 8 years stint as the head coach of Army ending in 1999. That's when he went to the Jets, where he spent time with our good friend Mike DeVito. In 2013, Andy Reid brought his 41 years of coaching experience to Kansas City. And BJ, think about this. This year, Sutton enters year number 44 as a coach.
Before he went to Army, he had been at five different places over the span of 11 years. And then he spent the 17 years at Army, like you talked about, as defensive coordinator, then head coach. But in those 44 years, 41 of them have been on the defensive side of the ball. So when Mike DeVito says that he believes Bob Sutton is a defensive genius, it's not just because he has the resume, but he also has the experience to back that up.
Well, the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, recently sat down with Sutton to discuss his outlook for 2015. Here's that interview.
Bob, it seems like every good defense develops an identity. This is your third year now. Is there an identity to this Chiefs defense?
Well, you know, we really talk in terms of play like a Chief, you know, which is passionate, toughness, productive, grit. And we're always searching out those qualities in players when we look at them and evaluate them. And then we also are trying to, you know, develop those in our present players. And I think the guys have done a great job of taking those to heart. You know, the grit deal is huge. You know, when you get backed up in some of those situations, It is about the defensive calls, but it's really a mindset and a mental toughness and an approach. And we need to keep working those things. And as they become part of our culture, the way we do business, I think it'll produce the results we're looking for.
Game winners, bro. We 7-0 because of the O-line and the D-line. Point blank, period, bro.
You're setting this tone without, some think, the best inside technique player in the league without Dontari Poe. What are you getting up front from your guys? And as you evaluate and getting close to cuts, how do you handle it?
Well, I think, the guys that have had to step in there, like Jay Howard specifically, has done a real good job. We obviously got Mike DeVito back, which made a big difference, and of course, Derek Johnson. So, we've kind of, added, back to the mix that we didn't have for most of the year last season. So I think, hopefully we'll get Dontari back at some point here, and that's just going to be a plus for us because these other guys have had to step up. And I think the other part, guys have improved. Alan Bailey's improved. Justin Houston's played the run very, very well here during camp. And so when those players plus, and they give you a plus, returning players, it's really helpful.
Bob, we're staring at the first cutdowns, and then the second cutdown comes rapidly after that. Generally in the NFL, you'll get 25 guys. Now, I know that can vary.
Yeah.
How do you put together your defense?
Well, that's, of course, the decisions are basically made with John Dorsey and Andy, like who we're going to keep. We coaches, we have an input in the meetings and that when we evaluate the players. But I think, one thing you always want to do is, as much as we'd like to keep every guy in defense, we realize that, we're trying to put a team out there. And so whatever is best for our team, which to include special teams, sometimes a player, he might not be quite as good as this player at his position, but he's a much more valuable special teams player. So you got to go with that. And as a position coach or a coordinator, you got to be willing to live with that because that's going to produce in the end the results you want, because this whole game is still about field position and where you start and where you end and what kind of, opportunities you give the other side of the ball, and so I always, one, I got great trust in Andy and John and looking at our players and saying, this is going to make us a better team, And like I say, if you went into any position coach's room, he's convinced these are the guys, because you love those players you're coaching, but sometimes you just got to pull back and say, this is the best for our team right now.
Coming up on Chiefs Blueprint.
He's sacked by Derek Thomas.
He was relentless in his effort to get to the quarterback.
When it was pass rush time, that was Derek Thomas time.
Welcome back to the show. BJ, I know you were born and raised a Kansas City Chiefs fan. Admittedly, I didn't grow up in Kansas City, so I can only appreciate these pass rushers over the years from afar. But to you, growing up, what did these pass rushers mean to you? And more specifically, what about number 58?
Arrowhead Stadium, to me, has the mystique that it does because of guys like Derek Thomas and the sound that stadium would generate on third down when he was chasing quarterbacks during his 11 years with the Chiefs. To me, that's where it started. Going to Arrowhead was my dad and I's thing growing up. Some of the best memories I have with him are going to that stadium and being a part of the sound and watching Derek Thomas sack opposing quarterbacks, stuff I'll never forget. And he's gone now, but even now, when I walk into the stadium, those are the memories that I have of the sound and Derek Thomas. And every time the Chiefs needed a big play, it seemed, 58 was always there. Now that tradition has continued with Tamba Ali and then now Justin Houston.
All right, well, BJ, later this year, we'll get a more in-depth look into this rich tradition of pass rushers in a full-length Chiefs Kingdom episode that you won't want to miss. But as for now, let's take a look at the sneak peek.
The Kansas City Chiefs first-round selection. Derek Thomas, linebacker, Alabama.
Well, I think I fit in very well because they run a scheme similar to the one that I ran in college, and I think I can execute and do real well.
His license plate said, I sack quarterbacks. And that's what he came in with as a rookie, You're thinking, well, who is this guy? You never knew it, the serious side, until it was game time. And that's when he was a different person.
He was relentless in his effort to get to the quarterback.
He's sacked by Derek Thomas!
He could make the game seem very simple. The offense had to stop Derek Thomas, and they couldn't stop Derek Thomas. I can remember a Monday night football game against the Raiders where Derek Thomas just...
And
wreaked havoc. All I could think of was, you know, the other team is professional too. The other team have full-time coaches as well. They've spent all offseason. They knew they were going to have Derek Thomas in this game, and yet they still have nothing.
First and five. Jeff George sacked again by Thomas. Comes the blitz.
Derek Thomas.
Jeff George never had a chance. It's a safety. Derek Thomas with another sack.
The length of distance he got on his first step.
Quickness. Quickness at the point of attack, quickness.
It covered a lot of ground. Tackles really had a hard time adjusting to that.
49ers. Young, chased by Derek Thomas.
They're going to have to do something about Derek Thomas because he's just too quick for him.
When he saw a movement, he could move and get off the ball faster than anyone that's ever played this game. And I believe that that is still true today. Beyond that, you know, he had an ability that you see some guys, and it's an important part of a pass rush, where he could, you know, take on the weight of a 300-plus pound man and lean and twist his body to take that weight on while keeping his legs running.
And then the thing that he did that truly, I think, is why he is a Hall of Famer was his ability to get the ball out when he got there.
I can remember several games where it was a sack.
Snap the moon. Setting up, hit from behind, ball turned free.
Strip the ball, fumble recovery. That's a game changer.
And a big knock in the back by Derek Thomas.
I think he caused 46 fumbles in his career. The next linebacker, LT, had like 26.
That's the same number that Bruce Smith had in Buffalo. Bruce Smith played 100 more games.
John Elway said, I liked playing against Derek even though he sacked me more than anybody else in my entire career. Because Derek never went after me, he went after the ball.
A fumble on the play, picked up by Derek Thomas in the 10. He bobbles it, gets it out of bounds to the end zone.
There was no question when it was pass rush time, that was Derek Thomas time.
Chiefs Blueprint is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Prime Sport, get your tickets to the Chiefs tailgate party. Presented by Bud Light at primesport.com/Chiefs. Overland Park Auto Group, home of the Red Friday Rally. And by the University of Kansas Hospital, the official healthcare provider of the Chiefs and the athlete in you.
Thanks for joining us on the show. So BJ, we're right at the doorstep now. One more preseason game and then final cuts. I want to get some insight into this process for a second. This roster bubble thing. Now, what goes into it for players and then even further for decision makers, for example, like Chris Ballard?
I think these guys are trying to stick with the Kansas City Chiefs, obviously, and I've talked with Chris Ballard about this. When they go out on the field, they're auditioning for all 32 NFL teams. So for the players, it's a control what you can control try to kind of thing. And I know that some of the guys won't stick here, but because of the depth and talent on this roster and what John Dorsey and that staff have put together, these guys are going to find jobs with other teams. I mean, you look at the Chiefs 2 years ago, you know, it was Jay Howard, Ron Parker, Marcus Cooper, James Michael Johnson, Desmond Moses. I mean, all those guys were released by other teams and picked up by the Chiefs and contributed here. So for guys like John Dorsey, Chris Ballard, and that entire staff, because let's be honest, whenever a personnel decision is made, and they talk about this a lot, it is a group effort. Everyone in that room has a voice. It's the reason this works so well. So I don't envy the position that these guys are in because they're trying to find the best 53 guys in this team. But the truth is that these guys have been putting their blood, sweat, and tears into this for the last few months. And that staff and this group has to tell 37 guys over the next few weeks. That dream that you've been working your entire life for, it's not happening here and it's not happening right now. That's a really tough thing to do with these guys that they've developed relationships with.
And the bittersweet part for the fans is with all this talent, it's almost a good problem to have. Remember, to stay up on all things Chiefs, be sure you're heading over to Chiefs.com for articles, features, and the very latest updates. You can follow BJ on Twitter at Chiefs Reporter and me at PG Sween. And for all the breaking news, head over to our official Twitter at Chiefs. For BJ Kissel, I'm Pete Sweeney. Thank you for joining us on Chiefs Blueprint. We'll see you next week.